morning. We'll call the October 15th, 2013 Sussex County Council meeting to order. Approval of the agenda, Mr. Lawson.
Good morning, Mr. President. Yes, thank you. Looks like there's one item to amend on the agenda today. Mike Izzo, County Engineer, number one, letter of credit. The Woods at Oyster Rock, we can delete that per the recommendation of the Engineering Department.
Entertain a motion to approve the agenda as amended.
So moved.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver.
Second.
Second, Mr. Phillips. Any questions? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. We had minutes of October the 8th. Any corrections or concerns about those? Hearing none, they'll stand approved. Bring a correspondence, Mr. Rutt.
There is no correspondence today.
Any correspondence from council?
Yeah, I did.
Mrs. Deaver.
Kelly was kind enough to copy an article that a friend sent to me about folks across the Chesapeake Bay, what they're doing about growth and the farms there. So I hope everyone got a copy. What the neighbors are doing.
Okay, anything else from council?
Well, I don't know if it's appropriate, but the county council gets to hold on to the pig trophy from Apple Scrapple. County Council was well represented with Mr. Vincent and myself.
And as you can see, Mr. Phillips has the trophy, so that answers who won the trophy, doesn't it?
The Mayor's Cup went to the Mayor of Laurel, so yep. Laurel was well represented in and of itself, too.
Anything else from Council?
Want to meet them people on the west side, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Mr. Lawson.
Would that letter be, would that letter be entered in the minutes?
If you'd like it to be.
Yes, please.
Mm-hmm. Sure. I assume Robin's got a copy of it.
Not yet, but I'll get one.
Okay.
Okay, thank you, Mr. President. I have two items today that relate back to a discussion we had last week on the issue of bond requirements and the bond program within the county. As presented to council last week, the county is considering decoupling the bond requirements that the county administers as it relates to Sussex Conservation District. And to do that would require a change in our code. As described in last week's presentation, we think for the legal liability issues that this presents, as well as the administrative issues that go along with holding on to the Conservation District's bonds while they administer their own programs, it would make sense to change that. We are proposing that that change take place at the beginning of next year should this ordinance be introduced and acted upon in public hearing session in the future. As conveyed last week, the Conservation District also agrees with this and has tentatively approved the draft proposal that they will administer their own bonds if the county council acts on this initiative. So that's the first ordinance that we would consider, which is the decoupling of the bonds from that fall under the Conservation District from the county to the Conservation District. Okay. If you would like to, we could have that introduced today for a future public hearing.
Well, I do have a question.
No, go ahead.
Is there any concern that we lose a little bit of leverage if we give that up? And if it's not been thought through, then we can talk about it at the public hearing.
The way it works right now, we do try to coordinate with the Conservation District when the projects that are under review under their jurisdiction to make sure that either the projects get done on a certain time frame or the projects are built to spec. Whether or not we would lose leverage, we'd probably have to think about that and have a discussion. I would say just off the cuff, no, I don't think we would lose much leverage.
I guess Mr. Wilson is on the Conservation District Board. Have you any concerns, Mr. Wilson?
Well, I was thinking the same direction you're thinking. I think the more you give away, the less authority you have.
What leverage do we have?
Yeah, I mean, what are we giving away?
Do we control what they approve?
That's a good question, and I think that probably about about 95%, you'd probably be right. But there's always coming to the county. When you take things away from the county loses it. Any power at all. And I've seen some things that are being passed. Let's take, for example, you've caught me off guard by asking that question, but take, for example, stormwater ponds, stormwater holes. That's one of the worthless things that ever came down to this county. Most worthless. You'll never get any drainage unless you got a drainage ditch to follow it up. You can build stormwater holes. You can put them out here and fill up. The springs come up, and they'll run actually over on their neighbors. I've experienced that. I've said that many a time. I know a stormwater pond that's next to my property in another development is 3 times bigger than this room itself in volume. I saw, and it sits up on Wilson Hill, believe it or not, second highest elevation in Sussex County till they built Mount Trashmore and some of these other places. Other than that, it was the highest spots until then. But 2 years ago, we had all this rain, 10-inch rain, 5-inch rain. Within about a month, we had about 15 inches of rain. That thing actually filled up, and the pressure of the springs pushed that pond over and ran down in my park, which sits on high level. We've never had that problem in years, never. But this stormwater pond flooded me out. If this pond, or whatever they started out with, had some kind of drainage, ditches, if we spent our money on ditches and these kind of things, real drainage, instead of darn stormwater ponds that don't amount to nothing, actually wasting land, wasting money, resources. It's a waste. And I can't get this through soil conservation head. That's the problem.
Maybe I asked the wrong question. What I was trying to find out was, and let's stick on this, let's stick on stormwater ponds. Does the council, as Mike Izzo, do we approve them?
We approved to give them the authority to put them in.
But they already got the authority.
But where did they come from?
We don't
originally
even
from this council.
We don't inspect them.
Because before they did not go over there to get permits. Every time we are liberated by coming to us, get a permit back, anything, cut some of our authority out of it. That's what I'm trying to say.
I thought the state gave them the authority to do that.
No, we gave them the authority.
Mr. Rupp, would you weigh in on this, please?
The stormwater management is really controlled by state and federal regulation.
And also county, too, my friend, because we also control zonings, and that's part of the zoning district. That's why they have to come to us. That's why let me tell you how I know this, Mr. Rudd.
Sure.
Because I serve on the Soil and Water Board, and they have come to me and said, Sam, will you please give us permission that we can put stormwater ponds on individual homes? And I said, it never happened, not my day, never, because I think it's foolishness. Now, if they could act without coming to me, why are they coming to me? Why do they want this council to approve that?
Well, all I know is that all approvals are through soil conservation when the plans come.
If you give them authority. If we give them the authority.
They've already got the authority.
We got the authority.
Well, we keep giving them, they're going to have it, sure.
Let me ask
no,
this
got
question.
It.
Mr. Phillips has the floor.
We're not giving them
Mr. Rutt, if the council found 3 votes to tell soil conservation, do this, or we will call the bonds, or we will do something with these bonds that disrupts their authority. Would we be able to do that since we currently are doing the bond?
It's a blackmail?
I don't know if I understand your question, but...
We currently control the bonding, correct?
It says in the ordinance that the amount of the bonds are no less, and bonding may be required for, and it includes surface drainage facilities, erosion, sedimentation, control facilities. It does have that in there. But in terms of the review of those, the inspection of plans and the approvals, the county has no jurisdiction on any of that. That all falls within the jurisdiction of soil conservation.
Okay.
So before there's any question of default or any question of the inability of the stormwater management to function, that all has to come from soil conservation.
Okay. Well, we can explore these questions between now and the public hearing if that ordinance is introduced. And I'm not interested in introducing it, but I have a feeling somebody on my left.
Wait, wait, haven't you read it yet?
I'm sorry.
George.
Would you read the short title, please? And we'll see if I was introducing.
It's an ordinance to amend Chapter 90 of the Code of Sussex County entitled Sediment Control and Stormwater Management, and Chapter 99 of the Code of Sussex County entitled Subdivision of Land in regard to the bonding and guarantees required for surface drainage facilities and erosion and sedimentation control facilities under the jurisdiction of the Sussex Conservation District.
Does anyone choose to introduce it?
I will introduce it. I think there are some questions, and we'll get those answered as we go to the public hearing.
Yeah.
Next, Mr. Lawson.
Okay, thank you. The other item for discussion, I coupled them together, so on the agenda, this is item number one. This ordinance that we discussed last week involves the no-bond program that we currently have in the county that is set to automatically sunset at the end of this year. This ordinance would consider the extension of time for the no-bonding program that the county currently has. The way the ordinance is written right now would be a one-year extension to January 1, 2015, fairly simple extension of time.
What do we need to do? Introduce it and have a hearing? Or?
Yes, correct. This would require because it automatically sunsets, it would require an amendment to our ordinance to extend the time another year.
There's been some pros and cons on it, but I think that
are we voting
we now? Haven't had any big issue right
all
with
we
it.
Do
so
is,
I think
is have it introduced.
Right. I'll introduce it if
okay.
You need to
Mr.
Read.
Rutt, would you read it, please?
It's an ordinance to amend Chapter 99 of the Code of Sussex County entitled Subdivision of Land in order to extend the time frame in which landowners may perform site work or construct certain improvements without posting a bond or performance guarantee.
Anyone choose to introduce it?
I'll introduce that one also.
Oh, introduces it. Thank you very much, sir.
We'll move on.
Mr. Lawson, Mr. Ayers' report.
Okay, thank you. Only one item today. Delaware Solid Waste Authority reports there were 39,713 pounds of recycled material received at the Recycle Delaware pods at the West Complex in Georgetown during the months of July, August, and September 2013. Attached are the reports received for each month.
Thank
you,
sir.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Vince Robertson.
Good morning. Good morning. As indicated on the agenda, I'm here for a continued discussion of the height regulations in the Sussex County Code. We did have a fairly thorough discussion of that last Tuesday, so I don't know that it's necessary to go back through and rehash that entire discussion. A couple things came out of that, however. One was sort of an understanding of what it is that we are looking to accomplish today with the introduction of an ordinance. We're not changing the code to create a 60-foot height limit. That was in the code. We're simply clarifying what that means, and I'll get to that in a moment. One of the other issues was whether or not we should impose a moratorium while the ordinance is considered. I know our office looked into it, and Mr. Rutt indicated in a memo that he put together with research that really, for the purposes of this ordinance amendment, a moratorium doesn't make a lot of practical sense. And David, step in at any point. The fact of the matter is you have to go through, well, let me back up. Moratoriums, by their nature, are contentious and often lead to litigation. So the most appropriate means to have them enacted is to follow the actual ordinance process, since they are technically a change to the code or what you could do under the code. So what we'd end up with is we'd introduce an ordinance, and that would go through the public hearing process parallel with the introduction of a moratorium that would go through the public hearing process. So it really does not accomplish anything, David. I think if you agreed to have it in this point.
The issue of a moratorium that was imposed by ordinance without going through the hearing process has been the subject of case law. There was a moratorium imposed about 6 or 7 years ago in Kent County. The levy court there did it strictly by ordinance, and that was struck by the Court of Chancery, indicating that since it affected a zoning requirement or a zoning ordinance in Kent County, just as this moratorium that had been discussed would affect a zoning ordinance in Sussex. They struck that down and said such a moratorium would have to go through the whole hearing process.
Give the people, so people a chance.
Yeah, it makes no sense to introduce an ordinance to impose a moratorium if the real concern is the height issue. And, you know, our recommendation is to introduce the ordinance itself to amend the height requirements and take that through the hearing process. Otherwise, you'd have to do the same thing all over. And if somebody challenged the moratorium, I'm pretty confident that the county would spend money and still lose.
Well, did that apply to our casino moratorium, too?
Pardon?
We had a casino moratorium as well.
I don't think that was a moratorium, too. That,
we went through public hearing.
That was a recommendation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that did go through hearing process.
But okay, all right. I just wondering.
But if someone were to pass a motion today and say we want to impose a moratorium, you all voted on it, that could be challenged.
I got
it. So you're better off going through the process.
No warning. Yeah.
Mr. Rutt, is it possible then to have a request to planning and zoning not to accept any applications that exceed the 42-foot historic height limit that has been, you know, the standard of this county for the last since zoning? So can we just, in other words, we're not stopping any applications. It's not a moratorium, but we're saying 42 feet. The interpretation of the Sussex County Council is at this time the 42 foot, which is historically has been implemented throughout this county, will be the standard, and anything that exceeds that will not be accepted at this time until this ordinance has been heard.
Well,
is there a possibility to do
that? That's a de facto moratorium.
Okay, I'm just asking.
Yeah, and as far as the 60 feet, that ordinance was passed 1990.
Okay, it's all in the current interpretation. The trouble is the county's interpreted it for X amount of years, many, many years. That's 42 feet, and it was only the schools, whether they're public or semi-public, like private schools, hospitals that are private or semi-public, that's what that all meant. Having a conversation with Mr. Joe Conaway, past county administrator, he says, yes, that was the interpretation under his administration. And I can't remember it ever changing, and I don't know of any. And still, I haven't seen any memos. I haven't seen any opinions from any attorneys. But it just worries me that an attorney can walk in, and everything changes, and something that has that dramatic effect on what's going on here, because we do zoning, and that's a major factor in zoning, that we were never involved in this process. So unless it's snuck by me somehow, I don't recall it happening. And I've not seen any literature expressing that change. So it's funny how everybody all of a sudden found out about it in a paper, which is interesting, because we'd still be slugging along. And I guess only one attorney out there knows that we have this 60-foot height limit, because we've had three applications, right? My understanding, Lawrence, is there three applications with 60 feet in three recent ones, or some before that?
Well, recent would be 5 years ago when they did the vineyards.
Okay, the vineyards started with the vineyards?
There's a couple buildings.
Lawrence, you come on down here, please. We need to just introduce the ordinance. That's all they need to keep talking about.
I understand. No, I would like to introduce the ordinance, but I was just wondering if there was any method.
Get her done. Let them talk about it.
Well, that's okay. Now we listened to Sam talk about storm water. This is more important than I think the storm water. I mean,
well,
or as important.
George.
Wait, Sam, as important.
I can prove that 62-foot buildings are probably more profitable than a storm water pond. Now, can you prove the difference?
Mr. Cole, you have the floor.
Yeah, anyway, so we've been doing this for 5 years, and we've only got three.
Well, I said approximately 5 years.
5 years, and there's three buildings in this county.
First thing that came up, obviously, based on the ordinance when interpretation was related to the Vineyards project, the two buildings that are on Route 9. And we've had two motels since.
Mm-hmm.
One's under construction, one's got preliminary approval.
And
then there's other issues within the code that created height issues, and that, for example, the RPC, Residential Plan Community, the Americana Bayside came in and applied for similar activity on one of their multifamily buildings, but that's an RPC. The ordinance allows for the commission to review the RPCs, you know, for design, ingenuity, and all that. And it came out that this was a section that they applied for, and the height was greater than 42.
It sounds.
But they can refer to the HR district, which allowed for the greater height.
Which
in RPC.
Which kind of is curious to me is it seems like I think Mr. the attorney that represented Americana Bayside is the same attorney that discovered this loophole.
It's a loophole, which is a section of the
But case. Whatever loophole. But I know, but Lawrence, for all your years here, you never interpreted it that way until 5 years ago?
No, the question
until somebody. Okay, but I'm just saying the interpretation of this county was.
Typically, 42 foot.
Right, exactly.
Could we have an ordinance
but
that would do that?
It never came up, never was questioned. So you think about what you work with, not those things that never come up for discussion.
And just to be clear, what Lawrence is talking about is in the RPC section of the code. For residential structures, if there's an RPC application that has to go through the zoning process, it's been in there for 20 years that an applicant does not need to abide by the 42-foot height limit. They can come in with a plan that has design ingenuity and say, we want to go to a different height for residential structures, and if the Planning and Zoning Commission approves it, they approve it. And there's guidelines in there that say you have to take into account the surrounding.
And it also comes here also after planning and zoning.
Yeah, on that.
They're not approving it. We approve it.
Well, it actually says that the commission.
They recommend
does.
It.
Well, yeah, but the commission approves it.
It could be on the beach.
In the site plan process.
So they would come. They could come in here and go through the process at 42 feet, and then go back
to
planning.
They come to council to get the rezoning. Huh? They come to council for the rezoning purpose, then they go to the commission for site plan review.
And that's the same as
on
side
a conditional. Okay, let me ask you this: conditional use application for multifamily would be. We have to vote on it.
Right.
They could leave here. And they would show us, they don't have to show us anything?
No, on a conditional use for residential, that would be 42 feet.
Mm-hmm. Based on the base zoning that exists.
Right.
So the RPC?
The RPC, though, there would be a recommendation for approval from planning and zoning, because it's an ordinance that would come to county council. County council, if it so chooses, would approve the ordinance. Then it would go back to the Planning and Zoning Commission for the site plan issues.
So they could show us renderings showing 42 feet. Mm-hmm. And then they could go back to planning and zoning and then change it?
The commission has the final say on site plans, so yes.
No, I mean, under an RPC, when they show us those plans, those drawings, those conceptual drawings and all that stuff, that becomes part of the plan in the RPC. That has some weight to it.
Well, but they still have to come back to the planning and zoning.
Right, they
commission.
Can't change it. After
and they can.
No, they can.
It's conceptual when it comes to the council.
Can council put that
so
in a condition?
So they take phases and develop it, and then the market changes, so they change design and structure, so the footprints change a little bit, but not much. But the height issue isn't something that's really addressed.
Well, under the RPC, I always understood that when they showed us their drawings during our public hearing, that was like the site plan that they were going to use, and that they couldn't deviate
it typically
from
it. Basically, it's the
right,
same.
We're voted, when we voted on that RPC and it showed 42 feet, they can't go back and get it changed to 60 feet.
Well, no, they can come back to get preliminary and final at the commission when they typically, you know.
What we approve here is what they have to go do
if what he,
in
what
the
if
RPC.
We put a condition in
if
it.
You put a condition on it, you know, that says in the ordinance that it has to be this or that setbacks will be this, they would have to come back to council to get that condition changed.
In the past, other attorneys have told us that have sat down there that the RPC, the site plan, when we approve it, that's final. Basically, they can tweak it a little bit, but they can't go make a major change from 42 feet to 60 feet.
The height really isn't discussed when you look at the footprint. You're looking at the layout of the project. As I said, you get a.
But they go through the whole description of the buildings and on and on.
They get a master plan approval, and then they come in with phases for development, and then as it progresses and the market changes.
I mean, it's taken this many years to get this all clarified. Okay. Concepts. All right. We may need to look at RPC also.
Well, but there's an important factor to keep in mind that's not a by right type thing. There is, you know, a review that goes through it with the Planning and Zoning Commission. They'd have to look at what they're asking for, how it relates to the project, how it relates to the surrounding properties.
It just concerns me that there'd be no mention of a 60-foot building, and then planning and zoning approved it, and the council was in the dark about it.
The commission originally in the public hearing process probably looked at it the same way, but mm-hmm. the ordinance allows for this to take place by adjusting the setbacks for the height that's requested.
Phillips,
and it very well may be that the ordinance says that because it's a good idea. I mean, there is certainly a school of thought out there that it's much better to go up than to go out. And I think it's important that we put this in perspective. We're talking about 60 feet. You know, in Ocean City, as people try to compare 60 feet to Ocean City, you're talking about condominiums and hotels that are 200, 300 feet tall. There's no comparison whatsoever. I believe one of Sea Colony's towers is just under 150 feet.
165.
So for anyone to compare this 60-foot reference in our ordinance to Sea Colony or Ocean City is just trying to create a red herring.
I don't think so.
No.
How do you compare 60 feet
other people
to 300 feet, which is what is in Ocean City that you reference?
Go ahead, Sam. What do you want to say?
Mr. Wilson.
Now, this argument is somewhat frivolous from the point that Bethany Beach, where George lives, has their own ordinance. And we don't override that ordinance. Is that correct?
Right.
Now, do we? All those seacoast are all regulated by each individual town. And the county does not overrule none of them, including Rehoboth, you name it. So, and any town in Sussex County. Will you let me finish, Joan? Please.
Mr. Wilson has the floor.
As far as any town in Sussex County has the ordinance of any stipulation of any kind of building they want built. Is that not correct?
And we do not
override them, right?
All the towns have zoning jurisdiction. We have no zoning control in any of the 25 towns.
So the only thing we're going to build, right, 62 feet, if we do be, Joan, I'm still talking, please. And you try to mess up my thought, train of thought, and I have enough trouble staying on this thought as it is. Will you please just give me time? I'll give you your time, please.
Now where
was I? but anyway, we're talking here about towns having all the controls. Now the only thing can be built is going to be in the counties, what the county controls. Now how many buildings do we actually know is being built? 62 feet or 100 feet or whatever? And why are we so dead set against a building of 62 feet way out and nowhere, in a sense, being away from towns? Well, who would come and do that anyway? That's the question. It's almost an argument here that we have no control over anyway, in a sense of speaking. You see it that way?
Well, at this point, the way I see it is that we have an ordinance to maybe get introduced and then go through those types of discussions at the public hearings, because it would have to come back to planning and zoning. It would have to go back to county council and to really get into the heart of the issue of it. That's probably the better. And I'm not disagreeing or agreeing with what you said, but I just don't want to get us into the hearing stage at the introduction
stage.
Right,
that's where we ought to go in. We ought to go for a public hearing.
Yeah.
Let's go for
it. Do we have the... Mr. Rutt, do you have a... Or so who's got the...
I'll read the short title. And briefly, what it does do is takes out the reference to public and semi-public or public service buildings and inserts, and this was with the involvement of staff and at council's direction, buildings owned by a political subdivision of the state of Delaware, the federal government, or any agency thereof, and then continues with hospitals, institutions, or schools. So the short title is An Ordinance to Amend Chapter 115, Article 25, Section 115-179B of the Code of Sussex County, entitled Height Regulations in Regard to the Height of Certain Buildings.
Does anybody care to introduce the ordinance?
I'll introduce it.
Mrs. Deemer, introduce the ordinance. Okay. Then we'll move forward. Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Good discussion. Good discussion.
Thank you.
Next, Joe Wright. Consultants.